Amen. Hey, let's give God the glory once again. Amen. Wow. Powerful worship this morning. Just the great I am. We bow before Him and praise His holy name. So thank you for coming out this morning, choosing to worship with us. Hey, when I was in high school, ninth grade, we had a wrestling match after school in the school commons area. They rolled the mat out. And I was the first wrestler out onto the mat. And I weighed a whopping 83 pounds. And so I got out there, man, I was ready to go. And I'll tell you what, the whistle blew. I grabbed a hold of that guy. I put him down. And in 17 seconds, I pinned the guy. Yes! Man, I jumped up. Woo! Man, it was exciting. And the team was cheering. The people were cheering. It was awesome. And then my mom walks through the door. And I said, Mom, I pinned him 17 seconds. And she goes, oh, Dale, I missed it. I was like, oh, man. But anyway, it was a great time, a good celebration. And when you win a game, it's exciting. Maybe it's just a board game at home, right? You know, it's like, yes, I beat you. You know, we get all excited about that. Maybe you lose some weight. Like, yes, you know, you came through Christmas and man, you got a goal and you're getting there. You know, you've lost a few pounds, or maybe it's lowering your cholesterol or finishing a project. You know, you just get excited about it. Yeah, I did it. You know, that's a success. Maybe you land a bid at work. We all like to win. We like to be successful, and success is defined in many varied ways. Some people might think success is good health or wealth or status or recognition or power. It might mean being married with 1.7 kids, two nice vehicles, a four-bedroom house, a dog with a fenced-in yard, problem-free life of ease with a comfortable retirement, and then kids who follow in your footsteps. That's success. But what about success in ministry? What about success in the church? Some might think that it has everything to do with the number of people that we have in the building or that attend the service. Someone once said, when the attendance up and offerings are up, the pastor's up, right? You know? Yeah. Is that success? Or maybe it's all the kids in the community want to come to your children's programs at church. That's success. Today we're going to learn that God's definition of success in ministry has more to do with one's heart, the heart of those who are in ministry, as opposed to the externals. So take your Bibles, turn to 2 Corinthians. We're in chapter 2 now. 2 Corinthians is a book of what? Reconciliation. Reconciliation. Last week we looked at reconciliation in action, as Paul modeled for us the importance of reconciliation as well as the reality of reconciliation with others, being reconciled with one another, as well as reconciliation with God. Paul continues, chapter 2, look at verses 12 and 13. When I came to Troas to preach the gospel of Christ, even though a door was open for me in the Lord, my spirit was not at rest because I did not find my brother Titus there. So I took leave of them and went on to Macedonia. Now verses 12 and 13 here specifies what Paul ended up doing. We touched on this a little bit last week. He was going to Troas and then on to Macedonia without visiting Corinth. Now again, I remind you that Corinth would have been out of his way. So let's take a look at the map. And here you have Troas. Paul went to Troas, but Corinth, he would have had to cross the Aegean Sea south and then head up to Macedonia. But while he was in Macedonia, he thought better of going straight across the Aegean Sea and heading right over to Macedonia without visiting Corinth. And he had some good reasons for not doing that. He didn't want to cause them pain, he said. We talked about it again last week. He knew that they were working through this difficult issue of this man who had sinned in the church, and they were trying to decide what to do and whether to restore him. And so Paul had encouraged him to work through this issue, and they were working through that. He didn't want to cause them extra pain. He didn't want to be a distraction to them. He was looking forward to heading up into Macedonia. I guess I should say Macedonia. And so as he was looking forward to that, he was excited about ministry and didn't want to get distracted from that. And then he wanted to give them time to work through and deal with this particular issue. And then he wanted to, when he returned to them after his trip to Macedonia, he wanted it to be an exciting time, a time of rejoicing regarding successful ministry. So that kind of wraps those early verses up in chapter 2. And he continues on in verses 14 through 17. But thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of Him everywhere. For we are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To one, the fragrance from death to death. To the other, a fragrance from life to life. Who is sufficient for these things? For we are not like so many peddlers of God's word, but as men of sincerity, as commissioned by God, in the sight of God, we speak Christ. Now this is just a masterful follow-up to verses 1 through 13. Paul had just explained, and he developed his defense of the ministry during this difficult times and why he had made some difficult decisions in ministry. It was a very difficult matter that he had dealt with. And you remember that from last week. Wow. And then he follows up with this triumphant expression of thanks. So here's your take-home thought this morning. And that is, faithfulness in ministry results in ministry success. You're faithful in ministry, and you're doing what you know God desires you to do, and you know what? God is glorified. God is pleased with that. Don't look at success as the world looks at success, as so many look at success, to realize, you know what, it's not about us, it's all about Him and His work. And Paul had worked through one of the most difficult aspects of ministry, that of resolving interpersonal conflicts. Think about that. The conflicts from within, with fellow believers, tends to be some of the most challenging aspects of ministry. And yet, Paul has modeled for us the importance of dealing with such matters as opposed to ignoring them. If you ignore difficulties, challenges in interpersonal relationships, it just exacerbates the situation. It makes it worse. But Paul shows that working through the issues, like that of confronting a sinning brother or a brother who's strayed, and working to see that brother restored to, first of all, God, and restored with one another. Man, it takes time, it takes effort, it takes work, but it's exciting. And the whole matter of clarifying his ministry motives, again, all of this indicating a faithfulness in ministry. Paul says, I was faithful to do that. God helped me do that. And to him be the glory. And Paul was willing to deal with these matters, which results in triumph or ministry success. Look at verse 14. But thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of Him everywhere. We're going to look at expressions of successful ministry. Successful ministry finds its expression through these things. First of all, successful ministry finds its expression through thanksgiving. Again, verse 14. Thanks be to God. Thankfulness is directed to God, based upon the recognition that it's all about Him. It's not about us. It's all to His glory. And so you see, this verse points out that effective ministry submits to the leadership of Christ. Do you see that in verse 14? He says, God, who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession. God leads. That means that He goes before you. He is in control. Nothing is out of His watchful care. He victoriously goes before you. He has provided the victory. First of all, the victory over sin and death through His own personal death, burial, and resurrection, right? When He rose again, it showed He was victorious over death. Therefore, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. More than conquerors. We don't just win. We're more than that. And that's a matter for which we need to be thankful. He says here, He leads us in triumphal procession. It's like the team that wins the Super Bowl tonight. There's not going to be a tie, all right? Somebody's going to win the Super Bowl. And when they go home to their hometown, man, there's going to be a celebration, right? You can just see it. Doesn't matter to me who wins, so it's going to be a fun game to watch. One team scores, the other. I have a team I'm going to root for, but boy, I tell you what, those hometown fans, they are going to be excited when they go home. They're going to have a parade, and they're going to be excited. They're going to be cheering. The bands are going to be playing, and the coach and the MVP are going to be right out front there, right? That's the picture that we have right here as Christ goes before us in this triumphal procession of victory. And as a follower of Jesus, you and I live in victory. You know, think about it. You have the joy of knowing that you have eternal life. You know, think about that. That when you die, you know, if you've trusted Christ as your Savior, you believe He died for you, He rose again, you've asked Him, you've repented of your sin, you've asked Him to come into your life to save you, you know you have eternal life. Scripture says you have that hope. Eternal life. Living forever with Him. That's victory right there. You have the blessing, the hope of overcoming the struggles of sin. Now, we all deal with sin in this life, in the flesh. But we have the hope of victory. You have victory over lust. Victory. There's victory over addictions. Victory over worry, fear, anxieties, jealousy. And the victory of knowing that Jesus is your best friend at any time that you feel lonely. You may be alone, but you know what? He'll never leave me nor forsake me. He's with me. That's victory. You have the encouragement of His eternal love. God loves you, and you are a child of God. You are in His hands. That's victory. You are a victor. So effective ministry submits to the leadership of Christ. But this verse also, verse 14, also points out effective ministry recognizes that ministry is accomplished by Christ working in and through us. See that again, verse 14. God, who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession, through us spreads the fragrance. God leads us and through us spreads the fragrance. As He works in you, He works through you to influence those around you for His sake. He's talking about influence. It's like being the difference between a thermometer and a thermostat, right? A thermometer just tells you what the temperature is. If it gets hot, the thermometer shows, you know, it gets hot. And it starts getting cold, and you know, it gets cold. And so a thermometer just tells you what's going on. A thermostat regulates the temperature. You turn the thermostat up, and then the heat goes up. Turn it down, and then it gets cooler. God wants you and me to be more like a thermostat as we have influence on the people around us through Jesus Christ, or because of Jesus Christ. You know, I've been around some people where I've thought, you know, I want to be like that. You know, man, they just, yeah, they go through difficulties in life, but, you know, they just have joy. Or they have peace. And, man, they're just a godly example. Man, they're so truthful. They're so honest. They're so genuine. That's the kind of person we all need to be like, right? That's the person who is living out this, the fragrance of Christ. God wants you and me to be thermostats, so to speak, in His hands. So that when others are around you, they want to be like you, right? Wouldn't it be great to have a testimony where people say, you know, I just want to be like you. You just, man, I know you're going through challenges. I know you're going through difficulties. But man, I want to have that kind of peace. I want to have that kind of joy. So success in ministry finds its expression through thanks. Like, again, it's because of Christ. God, thank you for going before us in this joyful, triumphant procession. Here's another expression of successful ministry, and that's evangelism. The idea here in verses 14 through 16 of spreading the fragrance of the knowledge of Him everywhere speaks to the matter of evangelism. And I think that's a key reason why you and I are still here, right? I mean, when we get saved, we might be tempted to think, God, man, just take us home. You know, I don't want to have to deal with all this other stuff. But you know what? One reason I think God leaves us here is so that we can be a witness as we deal with all this stuff around us. You know? So that you can be a testimony of God's faithfulness, His love and His grace, so that people say, man, I know what you're going through. I can't. How do you do it? Because of Jesus. To be salt and light, as the Scripture says. To have that influence. And being salt and light involves, as we see in verse 14, the importance of knowing God. Look at verse 14. God, through us, spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of Him everywhere. I have a wood wick candle. Wood wick vanilla creme candle. It has that little accent over there, so vanilla creme, you know. And I really like it. It's in my office, and it sits there, and it just crackles, you know, and as it's burning. I love that. And people walk by my office, and they go, oh, and stick their head in. Oh, it smells so good in here. You know, just about everybody has a comment about how much they like my vanilla creme candle, you know. Paul here describes the relationship with God as a fragrance. And this would indicate a pleasant experience. It just wafts through the air. You know, you're just going through this life and you just have that fragrance of God working through you. You're having that impact on the surrounding environment. And so the knowledge of God has an impact on you so much so that it impacts the people around you. Because of, again, the impact that God has had on your life. As you get to know God, to know Him in salvation, but you grow in your knowledge of God and you learn of His love, you learn of His faithfulness, and you grow in your relationship with God, and it just exudes. It's just like that fragrance to others. Others can see it. Again, it's like a fragrance. I think of popcorn. I love popcorn. I had a bowl of popcorn last night. I told Teresa, I said, you know, I have loved popcorn since I could chew. You know, I mean, I just like, and boy, I'll tell you, I smell popcorn. It's kind of like, you know, I got to have it, you know. Or chocolate chip cookies. You know, you walk in the house and, ooh, hey, hey, can I have one? You start reaching for it. No, it's for the grandbabies. You know, it's okay. Yeah. But you just got to have it. That's the picture that we have here. We're a fragrance of God. Would people describe you as one who, man, he knows, she knows God. just, man, what an influence you're having because you have that relationship with God that is attractive to others. So being salt and light involves the importance of knowing God, but it also involves the importance of a faithful witness and testimony. Again, verses 15 and 16 now. For we are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To one, the fragrance from death to death, and to others, the fragrance from life to life. Who is sufficient for these things? I have another candle in my office. It's balsam and cedar. And people who walk by my office or stick their head in my office when that candle is burning, they either love it or hate it. And they're like, the people who love it, go, oh, wow, that smells so woodsy and Christmassy, you know, and they really like it. And then other people are like, oh, man, I got to get out of here. It makes my nose itch, you know. They're just, oh, whoo, I gotta go. That's what we have here. The response to your faithful witness, they may be much the same. To one, verse 16, a fragrance from death to death. That's conviction. They may respond to your witness of, oh, man, I gotta get out of here. You're just driving me nuts. I don't want to hear it. They're under conviction, and those who are under conviction tend to run. Let me out of here. They reject truth. Now, that's not saying we need to be purposefully obnoxious, right? We don't, in our witness and our testimony, we don't want to just drive people away. In fact, you might ask someone close to you, does it push people away? I mean, am I overbearing, or do I say stupid things, or do I have bad breath, or do I stink, or, you know, whatever it might be. You know, it's like, help me out here, because I want to be someone who has an impact and an influence for Christ. So we're not talking about being obnoxious, but we're talking about speaking the truth in love in such a way, and acting in such a way that we, for those who are going to listen, we gain an audience. Speaking the truth in love. Speaking in a way that's going to bring conviction on them, that will draw them to Jesus. To one, the fragrance from death to death. Some people are going to reject it. But to the other, verse 16, a fragrance from life to life. That's talking about salvation. Now, we love hearing testimonies here at FBC, don't we? You know, people come up and give their testimony about, I trusted Christ when a few weeks ago I heard the gospel and something was happening in my life and somebody told me. And we're like, yes, amen. Praise God. We just rejoice in that as fellow believers, right? That's a fragrance of life to life. So talking about that. But also to the extent that there may be someone who they don't know Jesus. And they hear it and they say, you know what, I want that. I want to be like you. I want to have what you have. Tell me about it. And you have that opportunity to talk to them about the hope that you have in Jesus. So the application, the encouragement here is to be faithful to evangelize. Get excited about your faith. Make it your passion to see other people come to Jesus. And that can be intimidating, right? That can be difficult, you know, to say, okay, you know, here, and you go to the scriptures and maybe, I can't remember what verse to turn to. Let me encourage you. Let's take some pressure off. Just encourage you. Invite people to church. That's kind of evangelism 101. You know that if you invite someone to FBC, somewhere along the line, it won't be long before they hear the gospel. They're going to hear about Jesus. They're going to hear about His death, burial, and resurrection, and how if they repent and have faith and believe and trust Christ as Savior, they will have eternal life. They're going to hear that. I just encourage you. If you're not comfortable, you're like growing and you say, I need to learn how to do this in a greater way, start with just inviting people to church. I think over this last week, and I was counting as I was preparing this, I thought, you know what? How many people did I invite to church this week? And I could think of at least five that I just reached out and I invited them to FBC. And I'm sure many of you could think of a number of people that you've invited to FBC. But that's one way that we can spread the aroma of Christ. And just as we're talking and listening, there are people all around us, all around you. You have a different circle of influence than I do. There are people all around you who are hurting, right? You hear their stories. You hear about marriages breaking down, families splitting. You hear about people who've lost loved ones. You hear about people who are going through addictions and anger issues and just struggling with life to make ends meet. And they pour their hearts out to you. And rather than just say, oh yeah, wow, man, that's off. That's something, you know. You can say, you know what, I'm going to pray for you. And I'll tell you what, why don't you come to FBC? Because I want you to hear about Jesus. Or however it is. I want you to hear our pastor preach or our teachers teach. Evangelism is a great expression of successful ministry. We're all told to go and make disciples. It's a one way you can do that. But verse 16 at the end, it says, who is sufficient for these things? Who is sufficient for these things? For we are not, like so many, peddlers of God's word, but as men of sincerity as commissioned by God, in the sight of God, we speak in Christ. Successful ministry also finds its expression through dependency upon God. Who is sufficient for these things? That's a rhetorical question. The answer is obvious. No one! Not any one of us! We're just instruments in His hands. Our sufficiency is in Christ, so we are dependent upon Him for all of this. Apart from the strength of God, you can't even invite somebody to church. So when you have that opportunity, you're crying out to God, God help me, I want to invite this friend to church. We depended on Him, and He gets the glory as you and I communicate to others the hope that is found in Jesus. And people, again, are looking for answers. Let's not hide it or hoard it. Let's depend upon the Lord to be the fragrance that He wants us to be. And Jesus gives His direction through His Word, and we're going to point people to Jesus through His Word. And as we depend upon the Lord, we minister truth to others, we're not in it for selfish gain or personal recognition. We're not peddlers of God's Word. We're not in it for selfish gain. We're not charlatans. Sadly, there are those who are in the ministry for money or for personal recognition, to make a name for themselves. You may see that through certain televangelists or even on a radio or websites and blogs and so on. And Paul says, that's not us. An obvious dependence upon the Lord, I think, solves a lot of ministry angst. And as you think about the changes that have been proposed in our Constitution, this is something to think about. Now, in this passage, Paul is really talking about him personally and his ministry team. In a moment, we'll apply it to all of us. But he's saying here, we're not in it for personal recognition. We're not in it for financial gain. And so as we have proposed the prospect of having what's often called lay elders or non-paid elders, elders that joined the, we often call the pastors, pastors, our elders, bishop, pastor, elder, bishop, references to the same individuals. And so it behooves the church, as the church recognizes and selects elders, that they be godly men who will lead them in godliness and righteousness. And that's just an important issue. That's what the church does, is recognizes those who are going to be appointed and elected as pastor, elders, bishops. And so it's important that you just don't put people into place just to fill a position, but you say, here are men who are fit and called for the work of the ministry. Not charlatans, not people who just want recognition. That's what Paul's talking about here. We're not in it for selfish gain. Why? Because God desires authenticity. Look at verse 17. We are not like so many, but as commissioned by God. We're called and commissioned by God. Now, that's what we look at. We look at the pastor, elder, bishop as called and commissioned by God to do their work. But in a real sense, we're all commissioned by God. Think of Matthew 28:19-20. Go. He's talking to you and me, all disciples. He's talking to his disciples. Go and make disciples. We're commissioned by God to go and make disciples, commissioned to be a witness. He says there, we're not like so many in the sight of God. Look at the end of the verse there. We speak in Christ. We're speaking as his mouthpiece. Teresa and I have been watching the series Blue Bloods. And we've been just going up through the series, you know, kind of binge watching, so to speak. And We were watching an episode, and Commissioner Reagan always has a kind of a contentious relationship with the mayor, at least in the episodes we're watching. And so they go to the mayor to talk, and the mayor's not around. And the mayor has this spokesperson who says, I speak on behalf of the mayor. What the mayor says, I say. That's you and me in Christ. What Christ speaks, you and I speak. That's the impact that we ought to have through ministry. And when you do that, that's success in ministry. As a witness for Christ, you speak on behalf of Jesus. What he says, you say. You're called by God to be his mouthpiece. So, when you think about success, when you think about success in ministry, the success of a church, make sure you define ministry success God's way. Not the way we think it ought to be, not the way the world thinks it ought to be. Let's make sure we define it God's way. And in this passage, we've learned, in part, this is not an exhaustive study on success in ministry, but in part, we've learned what success in ministry looks like. Success in ministry is indicated by a heart of thanks. God, thank you. Thank you for all that we have in Christ. Thank you that Christ goes before us and he leads us through whatever it is we face. We have the victory in that triumphal procession. He goes before us in evangelism, having a heart for souls to the extent that we're willing to be faithful witnesses. And as we do that, we have a dependence upon God. I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength, right? And when you look at ministry through a heart of thanksgiving, a desire to evangelize with the dependence upon God, this passage indicates that you are a success in God's eyes. Success. And may that be the tenor of our ministry here at FBC. That be our desire, to give honor and glory to God, to praise Him for what He's doing, to have that influence, to show Christ as indispensable to our community, as each one of us, our instrument is His hands, to be the fragrance of Christ to the world around us. Let's ask for His help. Heavenly Father, we bow before You, and we are not sufficient. We are humbled by these truths here today, recognizing that our sufficiency is in Christ. We can't come to You in salvation apart from Christ. We can't be victorious over sin apart from Christ. We can't be witnesses apart from Christ. We depend upon You for all things. And when we do that, we're victorious. We walk in victory. Thank You. With heads bowed and eyes closed, just contemplate in your own heart regarding the victory that there is in Jesus. Now, to some that may be here today, you may say, you know what? As I smell these truths, that's what I want. I encourage everyone to fill out a connection card. You can do that from the pew in front of you. You can do it through YouVersion or through our website. Fill out a connection card. It just helps us connect with you. But on that card, if you've never trusted Christ and you say, you know what, I want that, just jot that down. Just say, I want to know Jesus as Savior. I'm not sure, but I want to know. If it's personal and private, check for pastors only. There may be someone here, I'm struggling with addiction. I struggle with lust. I'm an angry person. I need help. I want you to know that through Jesus, there's help and hope. We want to help you with that. Again, if it's personal and private, check for pastors only. But if you would like God's people to be praying for you, jot that down. That's how we generate our prayer reminder. And I'm asking, in a moment, here's another thing I'm asking you to do. And that is, invite somebody this week. I'm asking you to say, you know what, I'm going to invite at least one person this week to church. And just in your own heart, I'm not going to ask for you to come forward. I'm not going to ask for you to write down that commitment. You're welcome to do that. But just in your own heart, say, I'm going to invite somebody to church just this week. Evangelism 101. Another way in which we can continue the message is through our faithful giving, the faithful giving of God's people. We ended the year strong. We're starting this year out a little bit slowly. Again, opportunity for us to say, you know what? I'm behind this ministry 100%. I'm going to give faithfully as unto the Lord. I just encourage you to do so. And place your connection card in the offering plate as well. Father, thank You. Strengthen us through Christ to be all that You desire us to be. In Jesus' name, amen.